Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is the Some of You Show. My name is Alisa.
My name is Liz. How are you, my love?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well.
I'm so glad.
And you?
Doing okay. Well, okay, peachy keen. Everything's cool. I have a question. Is there anybody in the queue for us? Because I want to
no.
address up. Great. So I got I'm not going to name names, but I got a message from a listener, and it was a very, very direct question, and basically the question was simply, how do you channel?
Mm. Mm.
And, yeah, so I thought, you know, this could, it could have been, and it certainly could be a one-on-one conversation. So if you're listening, listener, I'm not excluding that, but I thought it might be an interesting conversation for us to have. So I thought, well, I was kind of led to let's discuss it on the air. Now, what I do want, so what I would like to say about that, for those of you who have been listening to the show for a long time, I mean, we're going into season 10, year 10, whatever you want to call it, I no longer formally channel. There was a time where every Sunday, we used to call it Channeling Sundays, right? And this has been years now, that we've changed the format of the show, where we would reserve the last 20 minutes of the Sunday show for a channeled message to come through. And what I love about the evolution in the format of this show is that it's given the two of us the space just to grow and evolve without any sort of expectation. Everything has been very fluid and very organic. I can't speak for you, but I'm assuming for the two of us, that's certainly being a witness to all the wonderful information you give to people and all the guidance and everything that you offer, seeing that blossom and evolve. So over time, and I guess it was when we did we have a different name before the LOA blend?
It was like the LOA morning blend.
There was something, I don't remember what it was. Isn't that funny? And then it was the LOA blend. And then I don't know how many years ago, a couple years ago, we decided to, which I love the Some of You. I just love everything that it implies and the inherent component with the numerology. But the Some of You really sums it up, pun intended, of that these are all the different aspects of ourselves coming together, and this is a safe space for whichever parts of yourself that you want to be vulnerable with. This is a safe space for that. So I love all the implications of the Some of You. And going along with that, there's more of a fluidity where the channeling it's much more integrated into my daily life, where early on, before I connected with you guys all those years ago, and even before I did the Source Energy Radio with Trey, I just felt like there were these energies. There was something else afoot. And not that I want to get into my my backstory with channeling, because I've done it a couple times over the years, but just in a nutshell, where if I didn't acknowledge that there was forces inside of me that really needed to have a portal, have a voice, have a filter, if I resisted that any longer, I would get very, very sick. And at the time, I had young children, very young children. And a happy marriage, and I wasn't going to put any of those things into jeopardy. So it was that very painful, terrifying step of, I don't know what this is. I am stepping into the unknown, and I guess this was so dramatic because I guess for myself, I needed something so dramatic to really get my attention. Maybe for other people, it could be a lot more chill and a lot more benign. But for me to really know that this was like a life or death type of situation, so the path is different for everybody. And when you're able to step into that state of grace of not knowing, and not thinking about it, and it's this whole journey of like training wheels. Am I channeling? Is it really me? Is it somebody else? Am I really thinking about this? Do I like? And it's a process of fully letting go. So I don't know if there's any how, but more of an approach of I am ready to step into synergistic purpose, where I am ready to align all the parts of myself. It's a lifelong journey. It's not anything that's set or finite. It's as fluid as the breath, as fluid as embracing new experiences, or as fluid as being incredibly present in all of our life experiences and taking conscious awareness, suspending thought, and trusting to let it all go and allow what comes in and discover what comes in. And I know you being by my side all these years, taking those wobbly steps, I could equate that recently with the mediumship. I don't think anybody wakes up and says, I'm going to be a channel and I'm going to be a medium. Not me. I already have a pretty full plate. But now these years later, the gift is that now these energies are part of who I am, woven into the tapestry, woven into the scar tissue of my journey and exploration of this field of experience. So now I'm working smarter, not harder. Now I'm trusting that wherever I find myself in this world, the preparation can be streamlined, the surrender can be effortless, and it's amazing to allow for the parts that you don't know to be moments of discovery. And now it's remarkable where I have a reputation of being a really good acting coach. I don't consider myself an acting teacher. I'm a coach. I think there's a difference. And the more that I let go and I tap into the vastness of that, those infinite muscles and development that have been, you know, just my whole life, that's just been, the seeds have been there and they're now being tended to and cultivated, and surrender to the trust and to step into having such a present awareness that the focus and everything lines up and there's a surrender, there's a trust, and you could do some of your best work with a lot less effort and self-critical thought and very little doubt. And it is not arrogance. It is quiet alignment, which maybe to the outside world is confidence. I don't know. So there really isn't any direct pathway except a couple basics. Really being aware of the sacred space of what is your lane, what is your pathway, which has nothing to do with other people. You can find that lane, that sacred space, through contemplation, certainly through meditation, which is like a vitamin for me. I really feel a difference when I don't meditate, and to make it a course of habit where it's not drudgery, even if it's 5 minutes. Sometimes I have such a packed day, I can only do 5 minutes. Other times I could do a half hour. It really depends. But to give yourself that grace to meditate. And I would, just to tap into that, I would, as an exercise, get a little notebook, set the timer on the phone for 5 minutes, take a few deep breaths, maybe do it after meditation, and just write anything and everything that pours out of your hands without thinking about it, without editing. I would do that as a practice, 5 minutes a day, every day, until there's a desire which you will feel to guide you to the next step. And there's no topic sentence, there's no theses, there's none of it. If you feel like all I can do, because I'm scared, is just to write my first and last name 200 times during this 5 minute period, so be it. Accept the fact, and this is why I tell my acting students, my coaching clients, the first couple of sessions I say, I want to see absolutely no acting. I actually want you to suck right now. I actually want you to do not so great. So we can own that that's in there, streamline it, satisfy the ego and the subconscious mind, and allow your higher self to step in. And it streamlines the process of stumbling one's way through whatever said activity or goal. You have to start somewhere, so start without trying so hard. No one's going to look at this stuff but you. But it will guide you to next steps. Because if the guidance isn't leading you first, how can one share messages? And because I really didn't know what I was doing, and it was a very isolating time, I started a Twitter account years ago, and would tweet channeled messages. They would just come to me. And Twitter back then was 140 characters. Now it's 280, but back then it was 140 characters. So the beauty of that is 1,200, 1,300 messages later, I converted that into the database of messages, which we've been using for years now. And I can continue to add to that or not, because we have plenty. But even when we get calls and someone calls in to pick a message, when I read it out loud, it's as if I'm hearing it for the first time. Because it wasn't like myself directly writing that. It was a suspension of disbelief, a suspension of doubt. And I think that's why doing the little writing exercise is helpful because it's going to, it's like training wheels to teach one how to suspend their disbelief, suspending the fear, the doubt, the insecurity. None of that, all that does, it serves a great purpose, a very practical one. It keeps you small. It keeps your focus split. It keeps you exactly where you are. And if you dare to suck, if you dare to be less than brilliant, it's called practice. It's called process. And those steps are repetition, frustration, surrender. So I'm happy to say that surrender is the best payoff ever. And that is our life's work, to learn to surrender. And it's as active as a beautiful candle that we have to protect from the winds of doubt and ego and contrast. To surrender in the contrast, to surrender even though we have glimpses of the small self, who cares? But to surrender to discover that these beautiful gifts are within, why not? So, caller, I hope that's helpful. And I was never asked that question before, so I thought, well, what better place than to answer it on the air?
That's nice. Mm-hmm. That's nice, yeah. Yeah. It's always fascinating because I think for me to witness what you do, you also have a disposition to really you know, talk about empathic, like you really pick up on stuff right away. And I'm more of, I have to hear you talk, you know, like, I tend to not, like, a lot of times I won't pick up stuff, not on the air, maybe in person, maybe, but for you, I used to chuckle sometimes. I wouldn't have to say very much, like you and I would just get on the air right before the show would start, and you're like, what's going on? Like, you already know. Like, you could tell that something was going on. I'm like, no, nothing. I can't even lie to you. Right. So to be that open, I guess, is part of it.
Right.
And it's not easy to be that open. You know, in the beginning, like you said, you were resisting all of that. You didn't want to feel that much, and it's something that a lot of people who are highly sensitive or very empathic, and that's usually the beginning, because basically it's harder. The way I look at it is, it's harder to trust your instincts and your intuition, or allow for anything else to come through, if you're shut down. You know, if you really don't want to feel, then
good point.
Then you won't. mm-hmm. You won't until it gets to that level of discomfort, because it's got to come through.
Right.
Exactly. That you have to allow for it and trust that you're not going to be destroyed by it.
Well, I almost was
means.
The other way. Right.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so for me, as I try to piece together things that have happened to me, I'm definitely not a medium. But, you know, as you were talking, I was kind of joking. Like, my guides are like, yeah, how long did it take for you to finally let us come through? I'm like, yeah, you're right, you know.
Yeah.
You're right.
I think I picked those guys up a while I think I might have even said a few things to you, and then it all kind of lined up over time, where I was getting glimpses. It's crazy, like when you had your dreams and I think you had a dream way back, even like before I knew you. You had right, like a long mm-hmm. time ago, and I knew immediately that what that was.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So fascinating. Yeah.
So, you know, for me, I've always been a pretty big dreamer. So I always knew I always had dreams, and I usually almost always remember them. And there are a few that over the years that would really get my attention. And so, yeah, this one was even before, it was, you know, like 1997, you know, 98, something like that. It was a long time ago, which to me, that doesn't sound like a long time ago, but you know, it's 2019.
Yeah.
So,
I know, it's crazy, right?
It was a long time ago. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So to have those kinds of dreams and to have a dream that was really unsettling for me because the imagery didn't make any sense to me. It's interesting how dreams work out. There are certain clues that you're like, well, like in my dream, I was in a circle, or I was invited to be part of a circle, in this, you know, underground cave, you know, and people wearing robes, and I'm thinking, like, this is not the meeting I thought it was going to be. These are not my fraternity brothers, so to speak, you know, like that. It's
right.
Like, oh, I thought this was a chapter meeting for my service fraternity. And all of a sudden, you know, I'm not where I think I am.
Right.
And this one chair, they're just waiting for me.
That's so crazy. Mm.
And I had to pull that chair out of the circle. Like, I just moved it a little bit so it wouldn't make a perfect circle. That's my little trick of like, well, okay, I'll sit, but let me actually adjust my chair for a moment. And I pulled it out because I just wasn't, I knew that if I decided to sit in that circle as is, that I wasn't ready for whatever that was.
No turning back. And isn't that interesting? So that's actually a really good parallel where maybe by the naked eye you couldn't tell that it wasn't a perfect circle, but knowing that it wasn't perfect so that you still had an out.
Mm-hmm.
I had an out until it was like life or death. So I would have preferred just, you know, turning my chair slightly 45 degrees, but okay.
Right.
Hello. Mommy, please don't die. Like, nobody wants to hear that. So,
Right.
So interesting. But see, I think that's fascinating that you bring that up, because I think that's where free will comes in.
Well, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that would be another component of one's willingness, the willingness to suspend judgment, trying to be perfect, splitting focus, sometimes a focus that's split in many, many different fragments and directions, that's something that will keep the whole from emerging. If there's so many moving parts, you know, you could see where there's so many distractions, that also becomes a barrier that one can use their free will, and one can justify, I could say, I don't have time, I don't have this, I mean, I was one of those people.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have to say, the whole synergistic wholeness part of it, it really was extremely recent for me. I really pinpointed to March of this year. That's not that long ago.
Wow.
Yeah, like really letting go. And letting go meaning that letting go is, it's a constant. Constantly letting go. It's active and it's constant and it's a living, breathing entity. Let go. And it's not like, oh, I let go, I'm good. Nope. I'm letting go. I'm letting 24/7, we have to let go. Not we have to do anything, but it's the challenge of letting go. Surrender. You can call it surrender. Acceptance, grace, whatever you want to call it. Same thing. But that's a very, I think, more active than people realize. Incredibly active.
Hmm.
It's deep.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. You know, when we first met,
mm-hmm.
you had your guides. You were calling them Bill and the Angels.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And then I had to come up with my own team name for my group.
Right. Was it your wits?
And I still call them that. My wits.
Yeah.
My wits.
Right. Your wits about you. I love that. You're so witty.
Well, they're pretty witty. And so the way you know you have integrated that information, has been, you know, amazing to me, because now it's been nice to be able to see it, because you know you've talked about it, you know, they're with you all the time.
Oh yeah, the switch is on. So now there's not
right.
even Bill the Angels or Elizabeth. I mean, it used to be like this hybrid.
Right.
I had this great name, Elizabeth, channeling, all that. And now it's just what it is. It's the sum of
right.
me. Get it?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's why I love the concept of the wholeness of the sum of you. It really is the sum of me. It doesn't even need a name anymore.
Right.
Which is crazy, because there was such identity with that name, and the reason why the name Bill came through was that I was getting some healing work done by a friend of mine. Actually, we haven't talked in forever, but it's how I know Havertown, with a long listener. And
mm-hmm.
She's like, "Who's Bill?" All these people were coming in from the other side. All these people. And I'm like, I have no idea. But that's when I was really beginning to feel like there's something going on. And in the middle of the night, these energies really took over me, and I was led to take a pencil in my left hand, which is my non-dominant hand, to scrawl something. And this is like 4 in the morning, and I got kids. Hello. It's like little kids. And I look at the paper, and the name Bill was scrawled. As if a 3-year-old had scrawled the name Bill. I'm like, okay, well, that's what I'm going to call you guys then. What the hell? Yeah, I still have that piece of paper.
Wow.
Yeah, and now it's just me.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, this integration is
right.
interesting. Even now, like when I start, when I get in my flow, and I know it's not just me, it's coming through.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm such a nerd that, you know, it's the whole mental thing for me. And
right.
I think that's how they know, like, okay, it'll be easier just to work with her this way because, you know,
right.
there's less resistance.
Right.
So,
right. They know it's like, they have to put you in graduation robes and give
right.
you your degree and salute you and everything else.
So over the years, as I've just done readings and had conversations with people, that happens a lot when I'm like with my friends who tend to always I always bring over my numerology cards and we end up talking to the late hours, you know, of the night about everything, all kinds of spiritual things. And especially then, when it's like this really chill mode, and people are just open. When you're in a conversation, when you sit down at a table, a lot of times it's, you know, we're having a meal, and then, you know, the conversation flows. But in those situations, especially, is when this information flows, because everyone's open to receive.
Right.
And so when they're asking questions, and these are sincere questions, that it's not a throwaway question. It's not just something just to pass the time. It's not small talk at all. That's when that energy really ramps up. And I don't have to say this anymore. Sometimes I will. I'll notice when I say it, and it doesn't matter when I say something like, "Oh, well, what I'm getting is this," or what they're saying. Sometimes I'll mention they. My friends don't question it. They don't say, "Well, who's the day they're talking about?" Like, they don't even question it.
Mm-hmm.
But over the years, I haven't even bother to necessarily say that anymore. It's just,
mm-hmm.
this is what I'm getting. And sometimes I'll use they. I'll mention them or they. And it could be open to interpretation. Like, it could be your guides telling me this. You know, it could be anything.
Right.
But when you're in the flow, it's just coming out. So I think when people say, well, who's they, when they start asking that kind of question, there's a little bit of fear behind it.
Sure.
Because what it does is it stops the flow. And there's doubt. Like, well, I don't know if I need to take this information. Like, well, you don't have to take it anywhere. It's out there. And you don't have to take it, but you also can't unhear it. We live in this world where there are, you know, sound waves and there are visualizations and so you have every right to reject, just like I had every right to pull that chair out of that circle.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and
it was like
rebel.
This little game that I play, right? This little game, like, well, I'm here. I don't know why I'm here, so I'm going to pull this chair out. I feel like if these were in rows, I would be sitting in the very back, like near closest to the door, just to get out. But
of course,
but I'm in that same space, so you can't undo anything. You move it forward. It either stays with you or it goes through you, but at some point, that energy was there, it was present, and you can always access it. So, it goes hand in hand with what you were talking about with meditation. For you, that helps ground things because you, my friend, are very, very busy.
Really?
For you to do something completely different, to slow you down, to keep you as present without feeling the need to handle all of it, like you just need to handle yourself. That's why the meditations are supplemental, you know, also are vital, not supplemental. They're vital for you.
They're critical, yeah.
I mean, there's like a gentle nudge for me, like they're kind of vital for you, Elisa. You just have to do it. But I tend to be not nearly as busy as I used to in the ways that I used to be, where really running around a lot and overcommitting myself.
Right.
Sitting through a lot of meetings, for other people. Like I've had to slow that down, and in a way, I would say, because I'm in a 9-year, with all of this, you know, all of this has been going on. You know, we've been doing this show for 10 years, so I've been doing this for a while, like this whole cycles, and realizing I needed to step away. Obviously, I needed to do some different things, and because again of the whole mental aspect of my life, it had to make sense to me. But then the physical activity has to follow, like the body has to follow all of that. And I'm much more comfortable. Like if you let me say, if you want to take a nap, I'll choose nap time. Yes. You know, do you want to go for a walk? I mean, now I'm like, I would probably say, well, I probably ought to go for a walk. And in fact, what I'm noticing is that I'll realize I spent the entire day inside and just sitting, and I'm like, I need to get up and do something. I need to be more active.
Right.
And not to be busy. Like I need to go out and do a obstacle course of things, but because I am more prone to be like very sedentary and very in my head, getting out of that is necessary, which is partly why when we talk about meditation, like you call meditation equals nap. That's what meditation means.
Well,
I'm going to be meditating at some point. I don't care if it's a 5-minute meditation. Probably for 3 minutes, I'll probably be asleep. And I'll be asleep hard.
Okay, there actually is. Let me see if I have it right here. So. last summer, I went on a personal retreat with my, now she's my friend. I told her, I said, you don't know me, but I know you. So it, now she is a dear friend, my friend Teresa Crozier, and Anna's actually doing a private retreat with her in November. But she had me do a walking meditation,
mm-hmm.
which, yeah, and basically it, there's like a series. I'm going to see if I could find the information on that. I'm sure it's something that one can Google. But I want to see if I could find the one that she showed me. But basically it is you could do it. I did it like near her her back, like patio, backyard, whatever. So I didn't like go on the street or anything. It was by the garage. So I would go, it was like a different patterns of going back and forth. But it's interesting. They actually have, yeah, if you just Google walking meditation, there's a lot of stuff that's coming up, but it's called, Kinhin. And so walking meditation is practiced between long periods of the sitting meditation. But I think walking, meditation, let's see, says one of the most useful and grounding ways of attending to our body is the practice of walking meditation. Walking meditation is a simple universal practice for developing calm connectedness and, let's see, and embodied awareness. It can be practiced regularly before or after sitting meditation or any time on its own. The art of walking meditation is to learn to be aware as you walk, to use the natural movement of walking to cultivate mindfulness and wakeful presence. There we go. So if it's the cultivation of wakeful presence, interesting. So that's maybe something to look into. You have a like a little backyard or something, right?
And yeah.
Where you're, yeah. So even if you just find a spot, but it says walking meditation can be just as profound as sitting meditation and has the advantage of bringing the meditative experience into our activity. So I'm just going to send you this link.
Cool. Yeah.
How to meditate while walking. Yeah, it's very simple. So I'm going to just send this to you. I'm going to email it to you.
That'll be good.
But maybe that would be the key. And then how productive is that? You're meditating and you're active, and those are two things that are important.
Yes.
So, and you could do it, right? I mean, you got all that nature over there.
All that nature.
You got all that nature. Got all that nature. Yeah. After the show on, was it, I don't even remember what day it was. Maybe it was like a week ago. I have no idea. But a show last week, I went to help my friend who's now a widower start the process of organizing their house in Connecticut, beautiful, beautiful house. And they have like a third of an acre, which to me, that's a lot. And the backyard was just so beautiful and lush. And I said, any dogs run around here? He said, no. I took off my shoes. I said, I just need to like touch a couple of trees and just you go on about your business. I'll be back. And I just needed to feel the sun on my face and feel the earth on my feet and touch a tree and do this, that, and the other. So that's right there at your disposal. So
good. Good
yeah,
for
it might
you.
Be interesting. Yeah. And then, it was so frustrating because, you know, I have a tendency to fall. And I fell again, but it really wasn't because I had a disconnect. It was more because I was just focusing on what I was doing. And they have really good taste. She's now passed, but my dear friend and her husband, who is a dear friend and has become family in the wake of all this tragedy of losing her. And they have, you know, they don't got no linoleum vinyl like I have at my kitchen. No, Italian marble. Okay, excuse me.
Uh-huh.
Italian marble. As you said, rich people, Italian marble. And my barefoot landed on a plastic bag, and I just spilled.
Ooh.
I just lost my balance. And I'm like, damn, if you looked at all the bruises on my body, I look like I don't charge enough or I'm having a really good time. Damn. And everybody heard it. You okay? I'm like, fine. Meanwhile, I wanted to scream. I'm fine. Fine. I'm fine. Thanks. I'm good. But you know what? Who wants to, like, go through their dead friend's stuff and organize it and help donate it and, you know, and catch her husband having breakdowns of, you know. It's and I've been doing so much of that in my apartment, getting ready for my kids to return from their weeks away. So I'm just in that mode. I could work for a freaking moving company at this point. Just moving things. Not a dull moment. Oh, you're by yourself? Yes, and what about it? So... And to have Anna with me for part of the time and then to have the rest of it on my own has been the perfect combination. But
good.
Yeah. But walking meditation, that's something to I would love to hear your experience with that.
Years ago, I did. I was doing a lot of things, getting a lot of meditations, guided meditations from Kelly Howell, who does a lot of brain sync type
yes.
things. So she does a lot of subliminal, you know, she has a pleasant voice for me. So I'm like, okay, that's
good.
Yeah. But she also had a walking meditation where, you know, it's something you play while you're walking, and she kind of gets you going. And so it's much more active, but it allows you to focus on something. But I think, I mean, this is how long ago it was. I think I had it on tape.
So, girl.
I guess I could download it, but I feel like what you were sending me, because I also had that. I was on the Google while you were talking, and I'm like, yeah, there's a lot of stuff here. I think finding just that like the backyard area would be good.
That's all you need. It doesn't have to be anything more than that. I mean, I did it by this, you know, by Teresa's garage. It was like a hallway's worth of, and it was just, I don't remember the math, but it was like seven, you know, you go seven rounds back and forth three times, or I don't even remember the configuration, but it was cool because it was focusing on something. And focusing on one thing that you still the mind, and then there's clarity because whatever divine message or alignment that's always there, it's not like, oh, it's coming in and out. No, it's always there. It's just buried.
Mm-hmm.
Just buried. It's like if if you're a hoarder, you're not going to find that one thing you're looking for until you just get. You get rid of everything. And what I've learned in working on my apartment is that I have to completely empty out a space, and everything is in stages. It has to really fall apart before it can come together. And I think the same goes for our life experience. We have to fall apart until we come together. So I've done so much falling apart my whole life that the be nice for, you know, the remaining chapters, plural, I hope, is about coming together. So it's interesting that
right.
you being in your right, you being in your 9 year. Very interesting.
Yeah. I talk about, there's all kinds of stuff. Like anytime something weird happens, like with the skin, which is doing better every day, and then I had something with my stomach the other day. I think like I felt like I ate something weird, like something was not good.
Right.
But you know, one of my friends said, "Oh, yeah, I think it was like you know, something you're just releasing. You're just releasing." I'm like, "Well, there you go. Yeah, you know, okay."
There you go.
then the other night I was at my my brother and sister-in-law's, and they had dinner over there. She made a delicious Indian meal. And I don't know, we were all having a really good conversation, and all of a sudden, it was just, not all of a sudden, but I started noticing little things, like my eyes started itching.
Oh.
So but then they started watering, then I started sneezing.
Oh.
I'm like, she's like, "Oh, I hope you're not allergic to something, you know, that you ate, something that we made." And I'm like, I have no idea. But she, you know, she gave me some eye drops, and that calmed it down. But for a while there, she's like, "Yeah, I think you're having an allergy attack." I'm like, "I don't even know what that is. Like, I guess if that's what this is, I guess so. I don't know." There are things that happen to me where people could probably on the outside be like, "Oh yeah, she's having this," and I'm like, I wouldn't even guess that that's what that is.
Right.
You know, like,
that's probably
I don't know. The eyes are watering.
Healing.
And I'm out.
Yeah. Right.
Like, what is that? So it was, and it could very well have been something that was in the food. You know, she was making, she does a lot of things because she can't have dairy.
Oh,
but
poor thing.
That wouldn't have affected me because I don't, you know, I don't really care about dairy either. I can have it,
but it
doesn't bother me. The alternatives are usually like infinitely healthier, like, you know, cashew, you know,
almond milk or whatever. Yeah.
So like, well, it could just, because these are like these one-off things, and it could be, you know, when you get older, you get these weird sensitivities, but I don't know. And this one was centered around the eyes. You know, the eyes were watering. So definitely stuff in my head versus, you know, my stomach. So very different.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just put like one of these, he's apparently my brother gets this, he gets allergies too. And so he has eye drops to help. And she always has this sort of stuff. So she busted open a new bottle. So, you know, just, you know, do a drop or two in each eye, just one drop in each eye. And I felt better. That was it.
Wow.
It was very interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
When these sensitivities, because I'm talking just overall being sensitive, these sensitivities happen.
Of course.
Because they're so rare. It's like for me to get a headache. It's so rare, but when it happens, they end up being migraine headaches.
Right.
That's the only way I can describe it, because they're so painful.
Mm.
So that's something to get my attention. So I'm going to, you know, put a request in. So if your people are talking to my people and they want to say something now, this is a good time to say it.
Oh, listen to you.
But because, yeah, when things are happening, I'm trying to pay attention. But also, for someone who stays in the head a lot, I can come up with all kinds of reasons why, you know.
Yes,
and
right.
And that doesn't necessarily help the situation. It may exacerbate it. It may make it worse.
There's no reason.
Now, right. Yeah. Okay.
Right. So. There's not anything to reason.
Right.
Because if you look at the concept of what that means, to reason is to get an answer, or to come to a conclusion, or to come to a decision. But if none of that, it's like if you said, well, the dairy doesn't matter one way or the other, well, the reasoning doesn't matter. So, right? So why don't you, let me get the database. Let's see what happens now that we've had this little dialogue. All right, so I am ready when you are. Let's see what comes up. So just take a breath. I'm reconnecting to you. Okay. Interesting two-digit number. 63. That adds up to a 9. Even I know that.
Yes, it does.
Oh, my God. And this message is so perfect. When understanding is gained energetically through feeling and silent clarity, the conscious mind will be convinced that all is indeed well. Boom! That is just, I'm going to cut and paste and send that to you. Oh, my baby Jesus. When understanding is gained energetically through feeling and silent clarity, the conscious mind will be convinced that all is indeed well. Boom. Mic drop. Okay, I'm getting off the show now because you could just wrap this up. Wow.
That's good.
That's crazy.
That's good.
That is beyond.
My people are good.
They're like, listen, they're like, bitch. We got you.
We shall see.
Right. We got you.
Oh,
isn't
funny.
That funny? I'm going to email this to you. Oh, my God. That is
I shall
really,
just say
really...
thank you for that. And with the 6 and the 3, it does equal a 9. And that 9 is made up of love and communication, that 6 and the 3.
Mm.
So this feels good. You know, I asked my question. I got an answer. We've communicated. There's still love. And let it go. And then the 9 says, you know, just let it go. It's unfolding the way it needs to.
That is crazy.
It's
love that.
Doing its thing.
Wow.
Thank you for that.
Wow.
We do have a caller. By the by,
okay.
We have a caller.
Let's take the call. Wow, that was
so
crazy.
Last few minutes of the show. Yeah, that was great.
Yep.
Thank you.
That was fabulous.
Thank you.
Of course. We got you.
It's another.
Anytime.
It's another 646 number. So let's see what's going on here. Hello.
Oh,
caller, you're on the air. Who's this?
Thank you. Good morning, ladies. How are you today?
Good.
Good.
Caller, who's this?
Oh, this is Carrie. Can you hear me clearly?
Are you a first-time caller?
No, I said this is Carrie.
Oh, sorry.
Hi. Good morning.
Got it.
Good
okay,
morning.
Yes. Hi. Yes. Now we know who you are. All right. So what are you needing today? What's going on?
Okay, so I'm trying to decide. I have to do a surgery on my shoulder.
Mm.
All right. This is scheduled for in August here. And I'm trying to see, should I postpone it until the beginning of September based off my astrology sign?
Okay, so what would be the reason? Based on astrology.
Oh. The reason is because I work and I wanted to kind of save more money.
How urgent is this? What's the purpose of the surgery? What's going on?
Oh,
with
I was in a car accident.
Oh my goodness.
I postponed the first date in July. Because I wanted to save more money. And I told the doctor the 21st of June. I mean, 21st of August. So I'm trying to see if I should just maybe postpone it or just go for it in August.
Well, how does the shoulder feel?
You know what? When I go to physical therapy, it's fine. But I have to do the surgery. There's no way. Because it's always issues with the shoulder. You know, it's always painful. But when I do physical therapy... Yeah, I do get temporary relief, but it goes right back to the pain.
Okay, and what's the saving money piece of it?
The saving money piece is because I just want to be able to save a few more, just to save some more money to make sure that I have a little nest of money to fall on. I mean, I will be collecting disability, but I don't know. I just don't want to be broke, I would say.
Well, let's not even put that out there. You're gainfully employed.
Okay.
Right? You're eligible for disability.
Okay.
So this is something that you feel or that you've been told by medical professionals. That, and your doctor is saying surgery is like, that's it, that's the way to go, that's what you need, blah, 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 blah. I mean, is that what you're...
Yeah.
Okay. So we're not gonna mess with that.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
What were you going to say? I want to hear what you have to say.
I was going to say, I met a few people that have had that same surgery, the one that I'm getting, and they're fine. They say that they say it's the best thing because they were in pain. And after the surgery, they were fine.
Right. Okay. Well, then, so I feel you could manage without the surgery, but you're going to be in pain. There's a price to pay for that management. It's called pain management. So if you know that this surgery is not that risky, right, from what you're telling me, like there's good results, then why are you blocking your good? I think this is more...
Okay.
Girl, listen to me. I think this is more an issue of worthiness. This is more an issue coming from childhood. I'm getting like between 8 and 10. But whatever happened between age 8 and age 10.
Yeah.
So if you connect to that little girl who, innocent bystander, okay, whatever that means.
I know what you're talking about.
Because I don't. Thank you. So innocent bystander, then perhaps the shoulder is the way to get your attention. And the way that you've been pushing her to the side was how you were pushed to the side. So I say, right? So I say before this turns into something that is not manageable due to neglect, don't put up the surgery. And you're in New York, right? Because I see 6 foot.
Yep.
Okay. Right. So you know it's hot, it's nasty. Do it now. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Okay.
Why put it
right?
Why put it? What else are you gonna do? You gonna go to the beach? You gonna cut somebody? Hello, right? So it's. I mean, seriously, it's been crazy here. It's been insane. Whether it's like torrential rain or it's like 100 degrees and people want to kill each other. So this is about taking care of yourself. And in your meditation, in your prayer work, in what, I don't know if you go to church, you meditate, whatever, it doesn't matter. But create a sacred space for yourself to dialogue with this little girl. Because this is now taking matter, you're a grown woman, and this is you taking matters into your own hands. Because the adults that were in this situation years ago, and I do not need to hear the story, it's not important. I'm just picking up on the fragmented energy of that. That's just where they were, and it's for you. It's almost like you're taking the hit for the team, and by doing this, you're going to do a pattern interrupt. You're going to break a pattern. Elisa's doing that now. She's breaking a pattern. So these physical things are going on, and I'll have her speak on that in a second. So if you're looking at this as a step toward wholeness and to acknowledging that little girl isn't to blame for anything,
that
your greatest years could be ahead of you and not settling for less. Your days of settling for less, they're done. This is how we talked earlier in the show about how things can get our attention. Well, there you go. Your shoulder's talking to you, saying, please pay attention to this little girl. I want to just circle it back to Elisa so she could talk to you about some of the physical things, because I believe that there is a correlation.
All right. Is it the right shoulder or left shoulder?
It's the left shoulder. It's hurting right now.
Okay. Yeah. So, when you kept saying, I postponed it already once before, I'm like, there's like some major resistance. And it's like, it's sort of like people who like couples who say, we want to have kids, but it's just not the right time. Or, it's never going to be the right time if you keep thinking about it. There'll always be another reason to maybe not do it. Because you're never going to feel prepared enough. When is it going to be enough?
Yeah.
But it's, you know, for, in this case, this is necessary, and exactly what Liz is saying, it's spot on. You know, you are worth it, and so whatever is connected to, you know, shouldering the responsibilities, you know, whatever was happening in the past, this is saying, look at everything you set yourself up for is, you know, you're gonna, like she said, you're gonna get disability, you're gonna be taken care of. Now take care of yourself by taking that step and not avoiding it, because whatever dollar amount you think you're going to try to save in doing this, who knows if by postponing it another month, because you've already done it 1 month, you know, and you're still in pain, you can continue on that path of true recovery, true healing, but you can't keep avoiding it, you know, and putting
exactly
a dollar amount kind of in that same alignment is not going to, yeah, it's time to really, you know, look into something bigger and better for yourself. You know, for me over the years, and really this year, there's been a lot of stuff happening where if I freak out about it, then that my way of thinking is going to bring in more stuff of the same kind. And, you know, I'm like, okay, I gotta just be at peace with some of these things because it's got my attention. These are things that don't normally happen. I don't normally get stomach aches. I don't normally, you know, have, you know, skin allergies. So let's see, you know, what's happening. And it's not for me, about really the physical stuff. It's the spiritual stuff underlying it. It's, you know, old, you know, ancestral stuff that I have, you know, like I didn't think I signed up for it, but I guess I did, you know? So I'm like, well, let me take care of me. Let me take care of me.
Exactly.
And all those other things will just be addressed as they come up. You know, like, you know, when people say the buck stops here, well, it's stopping here because I'm paying attention to it. I'm going to put that buck in my pocket. Thank you very much. And then there you go. So I'm just curious because we are over time, but when is your birthday?
It's actually coming up next month in August, August 12th.
August 12th. Okay. Well, I mean, you're a Leo, so you know you can get the you can get the pride and like, well, I gotta do these things. Just, you know, allow for the healing that is due to you to come to you instead of trying to prolong
okay.
it and try to put a dollar tag on it. You know, your health is priceless.
Yes.
Yes.
So. You know, and this is going to happen just, you know, just after your birthday. So you allow for that recovery time. You know, all the people you talk to who've had this kind of surgery done, you know, and you're already going to physical therapy. So you know that there's a physical aspect of it. Like when you're there, it feels fine. So that tells you something, you know, it's being active. It's so, you know, you can achieve that feeling at least at times. So how much more when things are in place the way they need to be, and then you continue your physical therapy. You know?
Okay.
Allow your
Sounds
body to heal.
Good.
Okay. Yes. Take care of yourself. All right, we're going to close out the show. So call us back and let us know how you're doing.
I promise I will. I'm taking all the advice. Okay. I'm leaving
Perfect.
The surgery date. I'm not moving it. Okay.
Yeah, don't
go.
Mess with
that.
Yay. All right, stay cool. Stay cool, 646. You take care
okay,
of yourself.
Okay, I will.
Okay.
Yeah, okay,
so if you
take
guys
care.
Need to get a hold of us, you can email loablend@gmail.com. Please like you. Oh, the takeaways. We'll talk about that next time. Please, whatever. Please like Universal Energy Media on Facebook and check out the great shows, hosts, and programming available to you. This particular show will be back on the air this coming Thursday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. And as always, thank you for a wonderful conversation. Let the light do the work into brighter days ahead. Love you.
Love
Take
you.
Care.
Bye.
Bye.